Proverbs 29 and 18 has become a very, I think, an important passage in terms of launching us into a discussion about vision and God's revelation and our partnership with Him in mission. Proverbs 29:18 from the Message. It talks about seeing what God sees, and when we you have the Message. All right, what does it say out loud? Read it right nice and loud. If people can't see what God reveals, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. That is a launch for us. That's something that I want us to embed in our collective psyche, our collective understanding of our partnership with God's mission. Now, this evening, is this game called the Super Bowl. And not to overplay sports analogies, I think that there's something for us to see here. Tonight we're going to see, if you're watching the game, how many people plan on watching the game? Raise your hand. Okay, good. Some of you are like, who cares? It's football, that's good. So we're gonna have the New England Patriots versus the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I have not made it a secret that I'm no fan of the New England Patriots. I'm a Bills fan, so similar to you who all are Ohio State fans, if Michigan was in the championship game, I would imagine that it would be hard for you to root for Michigan. I know some of you are like, I always root for the Big Ten, except when it's Michigan, okay? So I do not like the New England Patriots. Okay, I can say this since it's not about people, it's about a team. I hate the New England Patriots. I hate them. But my dislike of the Patriots is not accompanied by a lack of respect for the New England Patriots. I actually respect the team. In many ways, I wish my team, the Buffalo Bills, were more like the New England Patriots. In terms of what the New England Patriots have accomplished, since Bill Belichick, who is the head coach, became the coach, and he took over in the year 2000, they have reached the playoffs 14 of the 16 years that he has been the head coach. They have been to the Super Bowl, including this year. This makes their seventh trip to the Super Bowl in those 16 years. Of course, they have four wins. If they win tonight, Tom Brady, who's arguably the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, and yes, I almost threw up in my mouth by saying that. He was picked like in the sixth round, so they didn't even expect him to be like a great player necessarily. But since he's been playing, they've been to the seven Super Bowls. If he wins tonight, he will become the all-time winningest quarterback in Super Bowl history. This team has never been necessarily rich in a bunch of superstars. I mean, they got a superstar quarterback, but if you look through all the Super Bowl years, you'll see different players, different names, different numbers that all made huge contributions, and some you probably couldn't even name the names now. So they're not a team built on having a bunch of superstars, but they just do things as a team. This team has never, even though it changes constantly and players are coming in and out, organizationally, they're rock solid. And they have something in that team structure that just works year after year after year after year. They have a mission. It's to win the Super Bowl. And the vision on how to do it, teamwork, focus, execution of the playbook. Now, I don't want to, again, overuse or bore you with sports analogies, but there's something here that I want us to consider. You see, here's a team that has excelled in organization and execution of their mission through vision, through planning and execution. Unlike my hometown Buffalo Bills or some of your Some of you Browns fans, you might understand some of this. I want to share this, like, sort of this comparison. In 1999, they drafted Tom Brady, New England Patriots, and he took over for the guy over here on, you know, to your left, Drew Bledsoe. And so since 1999, Drew Bledsoe was a starter. He got hurt, and then Tom Brady came in, and he became the starting quarterback. And he's been a starting quarterback ever since. Now, through the years, Tom Brady's he's experienced some injuries. And one year, he was out the whole year. He messed up his knee, and this guy, Matt Castle, started the whole year. And then this year, Tom Brady was suspended for the first four games, and these two quarterbacks, Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo, they started. But for the most part, they've had just one quarterback in 16, 17 years, Tom Brady. Now, what about the Browns? Go to the Browns. These are the Browns quarterbacks since 1999. How many on this page? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. But I'm not finished yet. Go to the next page. 18. And I'm not finished yet. Go to the next page. 26 quarterbacks in 16, 17 years, as opposed to essentially one quarterback in New England. You know, that's a sign of chaotic situation. That's a case of just lack of vision and a plan and a lack of organizational structure. The reason behind us looking at core values and coming together around a common vision is not to suggest that we, like the proverbial saying, is that we're stumbling all over ourselves. It could be that we are, but it could be that perhaps if we would unify around a common understanding, what we've been calling core values, core understandings, perhaps we can be more efficient, perhaps we can be more successful in some of the things that we want to do. It is our belief that coming together with a unified vision for the body here will place us in a prime position to experience the blessing of God and sharing that blessing with our community. Accordingly, we have employed language that we hope will become a part of who we are and what we are doing. We have looked at language that's simple, it's biblical, it's solid, the principles related to our lives in God. And so that's one of the reasons why we wanted you to have something to look at to remind you of. You're going to hear a lot about commitment and a lot about change and a lot about commission and a lot about connection, because that's what we see as some core values to build our lives around. And again, they're rooted in the story of God. It's rooted in our understanding of what God is doing missionally, what he's doing through this body here in Reynoldsburg. So recall that we have been calling our attending to what God reveals our vision. We are doing this by exploring some core understandings and values. And so we looked at the first week, this idea of being committed. We take this cue from Jesus himself, who, when asked the question, what are the greatest commandments? And Jesus summarized, he says, look, the greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. The second one is just like it: love others as yourself. Listen to how this is rendered in the Message translation. So Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and power and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list, but there's a second to set alongside it: love others as well as love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hang from them. And so as a display of our commitment to God and others, we are calling for members of this church body to make time with God and to make time with others in the body, our gatherings, for example, making that a priority, making Sunday worship a priority. You know what, just take everything off your calendar on Sunday. I know there's gonna be instances where we gotta miss here and there for this reason or the other, but for the most part, let's try to leave Sundays like open for gathering with God's people. That way, when we come to church and sometimes we're gonna run over, we don't have to rush out of here. We can actually stay and here's the thing. You know, one of the reasons why I think that coming to church and being with each other is so powerful. Trust me, it's not because of these sermons. Because if I ask you all what I preached about last week, most of you can't tell me what I preached about last week. I know that. That doesn't hurt my feelings. I know that's just truth. But you know what you can remember? Who you saw last week. Who you talked to last week. Maybe a song or two. But the coming together, this idea that, man, I get to see Kenan, man. I get to see JD, man. I get to see Gary, man. I get to see Jane. That's the beauty of coming together and see, those are the memorable moments. These sermons, I mean, take them for what they're worth. And trust me, I put a lot of effort and time into them. But it's the people. It's the gathering of God's people. We ought to make this a priority. That there should be nothing more important than gathering with God's people on the first day of the week. And also this commitment to others, this loving God. So we want, again, in our commitment to God, you know, prayer and scripture and Sunday morning worship ought to be something that's important in us demonstrating our commitment to God and commitment to one another. Then we move to Ephesians. Chapter 2, and we brought up this idea about being changed by God. So we're committed, and then we're changed by God. And we read from Ephesians chapter 2, and I don't want to go through the whole reading of Ephesians, but I want you to notice here in this next reading in Ephesians that I've highlighted some words. You know, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions, and go ahead down to the next slide. If you summarize some words, I don't know what happened to my slides. Did they get changed? But I underlined some words because I wanted to summarize Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. But go to the summary slide. In essence, this is what Ephesians 2, 1 through 8 is saying. You were dead. That was your previous state. But because of his great love, God made us alive by grace. For it is by grace you have been saved. There's this understanding that we have been changed by the grace of God. We were a certain way. God stepped in. We were dead in our transgressions and in our sins. God stepped in, and now we are different. What we do is a demonstration of how we have been changed. Our attitudes, the way we talk, the way we react, the way we treat one another, is a representation of being changed by God. And that becomes a core value. The story of our lives is a story of how God's grace got a hold of us and is transforming us into different people. We no longer act or live out life the way we used to. We are participants of a new world order. That's the kingdom of God. As individuals, we should live lives that represent the change God has made in our lives. As a church, we should display a faith and fervor and function that demonstrates that we have been changed by God. And until we understand how we have been changed by God, if we don't understand how we've been changed by God, then we can't change the world. We have to first experience that change. And then we move to this value of being commissioned. This is biblical language. This is what God has been doing from the very beginning. He commissioned Adam and Eve to rule the earth. He commissioned Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. He commissioned Gideon to lead the army against the Midianites. He commissioned Isaiah to preach. I mean, this is biblical language. He commissioned Jesus to serve the poor and the lame and prisoners. He commissioned Paul to preach to the Gentiles. He commissioned Peter to preach primarily to the Jews. He has commissioned the church. He has commissioned us to be a part. And we see ourselves as this masterpiece made by God. Ephesians 2:10 from the New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The actual participation in God's mission is done as we partner with him in mission. God created us to be partners. He didn't create junk. Now, I know that some of us have a hard time believing that we are more than just matter taking up space. God made you and me to be special partners in this world. I like to use the term co-creators. We are his masterpiece, created to do great things. We see the fulfillment of this, in this truth in service. We are a collection of servants. In the name of Jesus, we have gifts and talents and skills and interests, and we use these to serve our families, serve the church, serve one another, serve the community, and serve the world. And then last week, we looked at being connected. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22 says, "Consequently, you were no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Over and over, we see throughout the writings of Paul that he is reminding his followers. Now, what we have done nearly 2,000 years after Paul's writings is we've built these great theologies and these words that we pluck out and we try to understand, you know, what does justification mean? What does sanctification mean? What did he mean theologically when he got here? And I want you to know that most of the people that were hearing these letters, they were less concerned about all of those terms because most of those churches they didn't get along. And so Paul would write these treaties or these letters that would start off talking about, you know, God and Jesus and some of these relational things. You know, maybe we would call those theologies, but he would say, "So then," or "So that," in order that you all get along with each other. Like, Paul was so concerned that the churches get along, that they understand that they were connected. And so connection becomes an important value of our church. Last week we looked at this the triune God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That and we said that it enlists us, the triune God enlists us to participate in communion with him. As the Trinity works as one, we, the church, along with the Trinity, works as one. We are connected, and we offer the ministry of connection to the last, the lost, the least, the left out, and the lonely. So as we wrap up this teaching series, it is my prayer and hope that we don't leave this place in the conceptual zone. I mean, we've talked a lot, said a lot of words, and oftentimes, you know, that's just where it stays. It stays in the brain, maybe, and you know, well, I guess I get that. But hopefully, again, it's my prayer that we actually begin to embody this and begin to live this out in faithful mission in partnership with God. My hope and my prayer, and I believe I speak for Justin, I speak for the shepherds, Bill Johnson, Bill Schindel, Kent Berry, is that we familiarize ourselves with these core values and seek ways to understand how they can operate in our witness as the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ. So then, don't be surprised if some of us ask questions like, how are you committing to God and others in this body? How is God changing and transforming you? Where have you been commissioned and where are you serving? How are you connecting and how are you seeking to get others connected? You see, God in the beginning created a beautiful garden, a residence for the first human beings so that they could enjoy being present with God. God has always longed to be present. But that presence was altered by sin. It could be said that God's plan of redemption and reconciliation and renewal is all an effort to restore presence. And that is where I believe the Reynoldsburg body or the church comes in. You know, we live in a world where a sense of presence has been lost. We are isolationist. One psychologist has noted and observed that right now in our society, we are the most lonely, the most medicated, the most addicted, the most in debt that we have ever been in the history of our society. And all of those symptoms, church, all of those symptoms cry out that there is a loss of presence. There is something gone awry when it comes to presence. The church's role in community. The reason why I believe that God has divinely stamped us to be here. We are in Reynoldsburg, the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ. We're not in Columbus. We're not in Whitehall. We're not in Pataskala. We're in Reynoldsburg. And for what it's worth, we're basically right in the middle of Reynoldsburg. The reason that I believe that God has placed us right in the middle of Reynoldsburg is to be present for this community. Now, I understand that many of us don't live in Reynoldsburg. That's fine. But understand that to be a part of this church is to say that I, as a member of this church, want to be present for this community. And I believe that the best way to communicate God's presence is to create these sacred spaces where we see presence. And so those four core values, that's our way of creating sacred spaces. The presence in our commitment to God and each other. That's why it's so important for us to come together and worship. When we worship, we are demonstrating and celebrating God's presence among us and our presence with one another. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love others as yourself. We see his presence in change. It's one of the reasons why Churches of Christ have long valued Bible studies and getting into the Word with each other and having gatherings outside of Sunday morning worship. You know, we have Sunday morning, Bible classes. We've got Bible classes on, a somewhat study on Wednesday nights. There's a ladies' Bible class on Thursday mornings. I hear that there's some plans to create a men's Bible study soon here. And then some of you may have Bible studies in your home. It's a way to be present, show God's presence in those studies and in the way that we serve. His presence in our commissioning, the way that we serve in, the community of care, that's just one of the ways that we demonstrate just presence. It's creating this sacred space of God's presence, his presence in the way we connect and seek others in the way that we connect. It's so important. I know I sound like a broken record when I say this. It's so important that if you're not part of a small group community, like you just need to be. You need to be connected in small families, smaller groups. And I'm telling you that in your way to get others connected, like some of us have this great desire for them to be part of this church, I'm telling you the best and easiest way to get other people connected is to connect them through small groups. It's less formal. It's typically in a home, which seems to be more inviting. Church buildings sometimes just kind of turns people away, but homes, you invite people into your home. So this is what I want us to be mindful of, and this is one of the reasons why I passed out these cards. So on the big card, this is just a keepsake. It's, again, to help you to familiarize yourself with these core values, commitment and changing and commissioning and connected. On the back is a word cloud. This word cloud was made up by the words that you submitted on the first week. Do y'all remember y'all did that? You filled out little index cards with your word for the year. And this is a word cloud. Now, the reason why some of the words are bigger than others are because these are some of the words that were mentioned more than once. And so I think it's a powerful witness that the word that was most mentioned when we turned in those index cards was love. That this is a community that values love. The reason why I wanted to print this out and I wanted you to see these words is because I want you to see that these are the words that your brothers and sisters thought were important. These are words that they want to see during this year. These are, you know, some people want to become more disciplined. Some people want to focus more on family. Some want to focus on aligning themselves. Some want to focus on unity. Some want to focus on health. And as members of this one body, we ought to see that we are helping our brothers and sisters achieve some of these things. That's what you do as a body. On the smaller card, again, this won't be a keepsake. This is something that I want you to prayerfully consider. And as a part of the invitation today, if you want to bring these cards up today and just set them here, there are the four categories. And on the back of this card, there's some opportunity. Maybe you want to talk about some stuff, you want to serve somewhere, you just don't know where. You have some gifts, but you don't really understand those gifts. Or I want to join. You say, Dion, join a small group, but I don't know which one I should. Or maybe you're saying, I want to start a small group to meet in my home. We want to know because we want to help. We want to serve. We want to get together. We want to talk on the phone. We want to pray together. We wanted to help discern in community some of these questions you might be having. So if there's something on this card that just sticks out to you, just write your name on there, write your phone number on there. Click what you desire. If there's something that's not on here, just go ahead and write it on that blank line. And it's my promise that we will get a hold of you and we will talk and we will pray and we will discern together how God is moving you and commissioning you, changing you, calling you to show your commitment in that way. So I want you to prayerfully, because again, you don't have to turn this in today if you don't want to. If you know right now, just go ahead and click it. And bring it up here. Let's get started this week having a conversation about how you're going to participate with the Reynoldsburg body and vision. The question that has been raised over and over again ever since I've been here is at what level are we committed? At what level are we all in? Are we half in, half out? Are we three quarters in, a quarter out, or are we just all in? I think this is probably the moment that we all have to ask ourselves. Dion Frazier has to ask himself, am I all in with where we are going as a body? Are we ready to attend to what God is showing us so that we can be most blessed? That is the invitation this morning. It's particularly for those of you who consider yourselves to be members of this body. Some of you have already landed in a place where you serve, and that's great. But I also want to ask you, don't sell yourself short, because maybe God is calling you to something different. Maybe he's calling you to something more challenging. Maybe he's calling you to something that's out of your comfort zone. It amazes me that when you look at all the call stories in the Old Testament, God always called these guys out of their comfort zone. Moses, I can't speak. Gideon, I'm a wimp. Isaiah, I'm too sinful. I'm young. Jeremiah, I'm too young. Why are you calling me? God doesn't always cause us to the places where we want to go. Sometimes he calls us to the places we most often have no desire to go. So maybe God is calling you there. And maybe you just need help in discerning that call, that commission. We want to participate with you. Shepherds, me, Justin, deacons, we want to interact with you. We need to ask that question, are we all in? As we sing this song, if there's something we can pray for, if you're ready to say, hey, this is, I need some help discerning here, you go ahead, just bring that card up, just set it right there in front of that table right there. And again, I promise you that this week you will get a call or a meeting or an email, and we will begin to discern what God's call is on your life. Let's stand and let's sing.